Thank you for the leading songs and worship. I'm so moved. Well, if I ask myself when was the most difficult time in my life, definitely I can answer that is the time when I was serving in the military. So, I don't know how many of you know that I have served in the military. I served in the Korean Navy for 2.5 years, from 1997 to 1999. As you know, Korea is a country divided into North and South, and Korean men must do military service for a certain period of time. This is mandatory for all males. If you dodge or reject this, you're gonna have a big trouble. You may go to jail. So in any case, military service in Korea is a very sensitive and rigorous issue. Although there are some differences, but most young Korean men join the military within 2 or 3 years after graduating from high school. About 25 years ago, in April 1997, I joined the military on a spring day when the cherry blossoms were in full bloom, you know. At the time, I was only 20 years, actually 19 years, okay? So I was only 20 years old. Can you imagine? Military life is completely separate from general social life. During obligatory military service, soldiers lead a tightly controlled and strict collective life. During this period, they are completely isolated from the general public and have only a few vacations per year. In the military, there is only a very strict life in which there is only command and obedience. Command, obedience. So, in Korea, no one likes joining the military except for those who join voluntarily. Can you imagine? At the time, I was only 20 years old. Especially look at the lives of young people in their 20s around you. It is easy to think back to when you were 20 years old. The 20s are the most intense and passionate time of their free will. They are old enough to live without any interference. As I entered my 20s, I wanted to enjoy a more free life than anyone else as well. But there was nothing I could do but join the military. I'll never forget the memories of my first day in the military. I had to part away with my family and friends. Everything in the military was awkward. I vividly remember the first night I spent with extreme tension and fear. It was a series of tough and intense training from the first day, and I remember crying secretly like a child out of longing in the early days of military life. Anyway, it is hard to explain how difficult life was in the military. Do you know what the scariest nightmare is for Korean men who have been discharged from the military? the dream where we were to receive notice of military enlistment again from the government. So I still sometimes have the same nightmare. In the end, military life was difficult, but I was able to finish my military service safely. The reason I was able to endure such a difficult military life, well, was because I had one hope. The hope was the fact that the last day of military life will definitely come. It is a fact that time never stops. I was able to endure and overcome my military life. This was because the last day would surely come. And when that day came, I would finally be free from military days. The way to overcome difficulties during military life was to hold on to a simple hope. I lived every day longing for the day of hope. As I endured each day, a week passed. When I endured a few weeks, a month passed. And when I endured month after month, a year passed. Don't get me wrong, I didn't mean to say that everything in the military life was bad and, you know, hard. Of course, military life has brought me precious and valuable life experiences. Anyway, if I could describe my military life in one word, I want to say that it is a hope-driven life. In fact, it was a time that could not be endured without hope. I think the same goes for our lives. We are the people who set our hopes on heaven. Life would be meaningless if we had no hope. So, hope is the driving force for living in the present. No matter how very hard or difficult life is, we can endure and persevere when we look at our hopes. A hope-driven life. Life led by hope is by no means a flat life. A life that requires hope is actually a life with hardships and adversities. So, a hope-driven life is also a life that requires perseverance. If you are living a comfortable, convenient, and wealthy life right now, you may want to stay where you are now for a long time. A comfortable life is likely to require no perseverance or risk. You may not feel the need to do that. Therefore, a hope-driven life reflects that you may be at the center of suffering and tribulation. Let's go back to the Hebrews. Perhaps some of the recipients of Hebrews didn't persevere in hardship and persecution, failed to keep their faith, and followed the path of apostasy or abandoned their faith. So, the author of Hebrews delivers a message of a warning and hope for those who are about to abandon their faith. The author encourages them to hold on to their faith and fix their eyes on Jesus through examples of the clouds of witnesses. You know, overall, Hebrews keeps two tight tensions, already and not yet. So already and not yet. God has already finished all the preparations for salvation. And you and I have the forgiveness of sins and salvation through the blood of Christ. No more sacrifices are needed. It's everything. Everything is already done for all at once. Do you believe that? There's nothing we can do for our salvation. Salvation is a free gift by grace, and that is received by faith. You know, how often do you think about the fact that your redemption, your salvation, or your eternal life is incomplete? It probably feels like a contradictory question. Did you know that Jesus died and it is finished? He paid the price for it all to happen. But the full reception of our redemption, salvation, eternal life, actually we don't have it yet. That is actually still the future for us. The author of Hebrews says, we haven't reached complete rest yet. The author tells us to try hard to enter that rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise that we can enter into rest is still open, let's be careful so that none of you will appear to miss it. And also 11 says, therefore, let's make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean you are perfect. The Bible doesn't teach that a Christian is perfect. Rather, a Christian is a sinner saved by grace. It is not possible to be perfect in this life. Perfection will come when we are taken out of this life and into the presence of the Lord. This is important to realize. For many new believers get discouraged when they see they are not living as perfectly as they felt they would. I want to tell you about that. We need to understand two concepts about salvation. The first, certainty of salvation. And second, assurance of salvation. So certainty of salvation and assurance of salvation. Little similar, but these two concepts are a little different. The certainty of salvation is hidden from us as a decision made by God's side. It is not an area where we can be involved. On the other hand, assurance of salvation is an area of a human perception that one feels saved. Again, the tensions of Hebrews, already and not yet, can be understood as distinguishing between the certainty of salvation and the assurance of salvation in terms of our faith, and emphasizing both aspects. Therefore, it can be said that we, Christians, living on this earth, are living in the tension between already and not yet. The point is that there's nothing we can do to be saved, no doubts about the certainty of salvation itself. Nevertheless, we need to continue to persevere and strive for the assurance of salvation. So I want to talk about perseverance of the saints. So perseverance of the saints is the Calvinist doctrine, one of the 5 points, that those who are truly saved will persevere to the end and cannot lose their salvation. The perseverance of the saints is that those who have been chosen by the Father, have been redeemed by Christ, and have been born again by the Holy Spirit, will be saved forever. And no one will be lost in the middle of life. Then we can ask this question. Is there a possibility of losing our salvation? Can you lose our salvation or not? Interestingly, it is very easy to find many passages in the Bible that support both answers, yes and no positions on this question. The question has already been addressed through many scholars for a long time. I'm not trying to deal with the controversial theological topics now, but I want to say is that our certain salvation, the forgiveness of all our sins, it doesn't mean that you are free to sin at any time. It doesn't mean that you have a ticket to go to heaven, no matter how you live. Certainty of salvation is not a license to sin. Once again, we Christians on this earth live in tension between already and not yet. The point is that in terms of assurance of salvation, it is important how we live in this world as we have not yet entered eternal rest. Regarding Calvinism, which emphasizes irresistible grace, Wesleyans, including Church of the Nazarene, insist on resistible grace along with prevenient grace. While Calvinism emphasizes the certainty of salvation, the grace of God, and the sovereignty of God, Wesleyans, the Church of the Nazarene, emphasize a holiness life that places human responsibility for the maintenance for grace on the human side, for assurance of salvation. Anyway, I'm not trying to say which doctrine is the right or wrong. Again, go back to the question, whether or not you can lose your salvation. Personally, I think it would be better to live in tension with the possibility of losing my salvation in order to persevere until the last days and strive to live holy. Believing you can or cannot lose your salvation doesn't affect your salvation. That is, your salvation is dependent upon accepting Jesus as your Savior, trusting in His sacrifice, and looking to no one and nothing else. Fortunately, your salvation is not dependent upon whether or not you think it is possible to lose your salvation. In fact, it has nothing to do with salvation, no matter where you focus. But it could be relevant in our lives. The Church of the Nazarene demands a higher level of spiritual, moral, and mature life as a Christian. It is a life of holiness. Do you believe that? Becoming a citizen of God's kingdom It is a great honor, but at the same time, you are also obligated to live a holy life. We are children of God. That is why we must live according to the word of God, be like Christ, and live the life of witness that the Lord has commanded us. We should live in the tension between already and not yet. We are saved by faith, not by works. However, we need to live a good and exemplary Christian life so that others can be attracted to Christ by our testimony. Because others watch our lives to see if there is a change, we must live so that they can see Christ in us. Do you believe that? I'd like to wrap up my message by reading Hebrews chapter 10 and 23, verse 23 through 25. Let's hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promises is reliable. And let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of a sparkling love and good deeds. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. Amen.